Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Are we going to have intro music?
Yeah, I think I'll put some intro music in this time.
Yeah, I think that would be more professional if we did some intro music, okay?
Yeah, I think I'll put some intro music this
okay.
time.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Maybe this time I will.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, welcome to the Saturday Strong Podcast. Hank Haney Podcast. Saturday Strong, Tim Perochka, Steve Johnson. Going by our real names now, not our alias. Minnesota Tim, Great Predictor 1. Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you for downloading, uploading, sideloading this podcast.
What?
And we got a lot going on, Tim. I mean, since the Masters, golf has been on a run. You know, I mean, we've had I mean, good golf, exciting golf. And there was no more exciting golf than just ended this week. We're recording on Friday morning, airing on for the first time. What do you call it? Going live or Dropping on Saturday morning. Maybe
dropping a deuce. I typically drop it on Fridays, though. Like right after I get done producing, I drop it right away.
Okay. All right. There you go. Back with your potty talk.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there was a big event this week, and I know you were watching it on television. You texted me about it. You texted Hank about it. But for 20 guys, it means that they get into the PGA Championship, which is this month. Well, tomorrow would be Saturday, would be the first day of May. And they're playing in the PGA Championship this week. I'm talking about the PGA Club Pro Championship. And I've made my beliefs known on this. We may want to talk about this just a little bit. Because this is, in every major event, there's some special invitees. Like you just told me a couple minutes ago that, hey, the PGA of America invited Ricky Fowler to be in the field for the PGA Championship, although he did not qualify for PGA Championship. So that's a good. So every committee, whether it be the Open Championship, the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA, they get to invite whoever they want. There's a criteria. These are called majors. These are supposed to be the biggest events of the year. Now, there's 50-something events this year. Wraparound season, non-wraparound season. You've got the Valspar going this week. You've got the WGCs, which is another event that's a big event, a series of events. But the PGA Championship is by far the least desirable. And I shouldn't say desirable. It's the least relevant major of the four majors. Would you say so or no, Tim?
I would say it's between the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open. Last year, the PGA Championship was a great event. I thought the PGA Championship really excelled with Colin Morikawa winning last year for the first time his major championship. And he won some events prior to that major championship. But the shots he hit down the stretch, the drivable par 4 that he hit on the green, I'm not necessarily about the name of a tournament. Like, you can be the Masters, you can be the Open Championship, you can be the PGA Championship, you can be a U.S. Open. But how do the players play in the tournament? You know, I think it should be more of a revolving door of majors every year. You know, obviously the Masters is going to be the best major championship every year. But if the PGA Championship has a better tournament than the Open Championship last year or the year before last year, there wasn't an Open Championship. Why can't the PGA Championship be the better major championship? Obviously, it's the one that you want to win, the Open Championship, the Masters. But I'm all about being entertained.
No, I want to be entertained. I agree with that. And you talk about the Masters. When we watch the Masters, it's beautiful. The azaleas, it's spring is here. It's like the start of the whole season, which is great. And I love the course is beautiful every year. They play the same course, only major where they play the same course every year. Last year, I would agree with you. The PGA was great, but not because of Colin Morikawa. It was because it was at Harding Park up in the San Francisco Bay Area. And it's a course that anyone can play. It's a course that's beautiful. It's right on the coast there. So it gets that marine layer. The vegetation there is just lush. And it looks great. I mean, it almost looks like like some type of Harry Potter movie. You know, I mean, it's surreal. It looks so neat. I think that's the biggest thing about the PGA Championship last year. It was great that Colin Morikawa won. He's from, went to school up at Cal, number one golf school in the world, University of California, Berkeley. It is the best. The reason it's the best is because they don't spoil their golfers. They have no golf course on property. Most of the golf courses that they play, they have to travel, distances to get to. So it's a commitment to play golf at University of California, Berkeley. Now at Stanford down the road, they've got a golf course right there on the property. It's like a country club. Hey, you going to go out and play nine today? No, I think I'm going to go hang out in the 19th hole here and watch the Cardinal highlights. Tiger Woods was a Cardinal, but he didn't last there very long, did he?
Are you ripping Stanford golf right now?
Yes, yes.
Why?
Yes, I am, because I'm Cal Golf. Cal Golf is the golf in Northern California and all of California. So anyway, the best thing about the PGA was Harding Park, I thought. And you mentioned it, even though you couldn't remember the name of the golf course, you talked about the drivable par four, you talked about the great shots. You didn't talk about the Harry Potter-esque of the vistas. It's awesome. This is a beautiful area. And there's a lot of golf courses right in that area, Tim. Lake Merced, California Golf Club, the Olympic Club, all right there in that little peninsula, which we call San Francesca.
Okay.
So anyway, but okay, that's the best part of the PGA. And that the PGA is coming up this month. It's the second major.
Yeah.
So the worst part of it, and I alluded to it, 20 of the club pros, they just got through with their little inner squad game.
Yeah, I sent you a text with Hank on it. Did you see that?
I did. It's inner squad. It's only club pros. So I've been very critical of this for the last number of years, and I've gotten some hate mail on it. I had some people, some threatening emails, threatening phone calls. SiriusXM, some of the hosts were ripping me. But the PGA Championship, the PGA Club, they let 20 club pros in. And last year, do you know how many of those club pros made the cut?
Was it zero?
Zero. None of them. None of them made the cut. It's a joke because it's diminishes the when you have club pros, and I'm not saying they're not good players. They are good players. A lot of these guys played as pros of it, initially, tried the PGA Tour, probably played college golf. Most of them did. But when you, there's such a big difference between a PGA, actual bona fide PGA Tour player and a club pro. Yes. And a club pro. It's not even, you can't even compare them. I mean, you can see the difference. Now, when you go to a PGA Tour event, you say, gosh, all these guys hit the ball pretty good. There's a big difference between a PGA club pro and a PGA Tour pro. Last year, we had guys in their 50s. A lot of guys, I mean, three or four of the guys of the 20 were over 50 years old. I'd rather see Freddie Couples in there. I'd rather see Mark O'Meara in there. I'd rather see guys that you know, Hall of Fame guys, rather than these club pros. Who's that guy? Who is that guy right there that, you know, I'm pretending that I'm out at the PGA right now, Tim. And you and I are standing there and we see a guy tee off. I say, who is that guy? And you say, I don't know who that guy is.
There are so many players on the PGA Tour like that, though. You can't just make that list a PGA professional. Like if you look at the world golf rankings, if I told you pick out Antoine Rosner, the 68th player in the world, would you be able to pick him out?
No, because he plays in Europe. He's a European Tour player.
Okay.
We don't show American.
This is okay. John Catlin.
Caitlin.
Yes.
Caitlin. Okay. It's okay. Yeah, I thought you were working on the pronunciation deal.
I am. Patented.
Okay. All right. Good. So here's my story. Let me finish the story. You and I are standing there. We're watching the guys tee off. And I said, who's that guy? You said, I don't know who he is. And I said, the guy looks familiar.
It's Ricky Fowler.
No, that guy looks really familiar. You know what? That's the guy that checked me in over at Sherrill Park the other day. I bought a sleeve of balls from him. He told me I looked good in that salmon shirt that he sold me. And we bought a couple drinks from him, too. That's that guy.
Yeah.
It's a joke, Tim. Come on. I mean, let's just call it like it is. I mean, Hank's the big guy. Call it like it is. That is a joke that the PGA Tour Club Pros.
No.
PGA Club Pros get in the. And you know what the big rationale is? What everyone says to me, the first thing that they say to me.
They serve the game.
No. There's a list of about 100 things that the word PGA Club Pros are supposed to do. By the way, I am a PGA Life member. But what they say, the guys that are ripping me say, hey, the PGA can invite whoever they want.
It's true.
It's their tournament.
They can.
They can invite as many club pros as they want. It used to be like 36 club pros. That was a huge joke. But anyway, I say, my response to that is I said, well, let's get some FedEx Cup drivers. In the FedEx Cup finals, let's get some FedEx drivers. We'll have a little tournament, a little inner squad like the PGA Club Pros do.
But it's not their tournament.
The FedEx Cup finals. It's their tournament.
It's not their tournament.
They're giving away $10 million.
It's the tour championship.
Oh, jeez. I can't talk sense into you. You're brainwashed, man. Who brainwashed you on this?
No, Jeff, my man Jeff, the club pro that gave me lessons.
Oh, he did? Okay. All right. Is he playing this week? Is he going to play in the Valspar or the PGA Championship?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. That was the biggest news of the week is that the Club Pros 20. You know what they're calling them? They're calling them the Team of 20. Like they're a team. They're not a team. They're individuals that lucked out and got a lottery ticket to the PGA Championship. My contention is, okay, let's honor these guys. They came in the top 20th of their tournament, their PGA Inner Squad Club Pro Tournament. They are exceptional. So let's have them as walking reporters. Let's have them on the site doing clinics. Let's have them out there doing some analysis, showing about the course. Let's have them in the shop selling green fees, whatever. But not playing golf with the touring pros. That's ridiculous.
Hmm. It was a little controversial, the winner. So Omar Oresti, and we can get into this next, but let me read the second paragraph in this Golf Digest article before we talk about it.
Okay.
Oresti is a 52-year-old who stands 5'6" on his best day with no hair on top of his head, but gray mutton chops on his cheeks and $3.87 million in career earnings on the PGA Tour. The Texas native never won or finished second in his 377 starts on the big tour, but this is a new chapter for him, and he's now won the PGA of America's PGA Professional Championship twice after a dominant performance this week at PGA Golf Club in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Okay. That's good. And well, we're going to talk about that after you talk about the patented.
All right, everyone, go to voodoopainterleaf.com right now to get a patented product. This patented product will take care of your aches. This patented product will take care of your pains. This patented product will help you feel better immediately. So go to voodoopainterleaf.com right now to get this patented product. It's helped Steve. This patented product's helped me.
Are you still running, by the way? Are you running? Are you putting it on your calves after running?
I do put it on my calves after running.
Okay. Does it help right away?
It does. 5 minutes.
Really? That's good, man. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. A lot of times I put it on before I run.
You know what a lot of people don't like? And what I didn't like about the cream stuff, Tim, is that it's oily and all, but the Voodoo Panterleaf cream sinks right in. You don't even know you have it. You don't even know you have it on after it sinks in.
It sulks right into your body.
Right.
Yeah.
It's vacuumed in there.
Yeah. Patented product, voodoopainterleaf.com.
We're going to count into the next segment, okay? Tres, dos, uno. Welcome back to the Saturday Strong Podcast.
Eins, zwei, drei.
So that's 1, 2, 3, not 3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah.
So the Minnesota Tim Perochka, Steve Johnson here. We are talking about
back to the our aliases. Okay.
Well, yeah, we're back. We've got to switch it up. We're talking about, ended up talking about PGA Championship. We got the team of 20. They're all excited. The folks, the customers, the members at their courses are all excited for the guys. They get to go to the PGA Championship. Tough course this year, Tim. It's not Harding Park. It is Kiawah Island. All I can remember about Kiawah Island and the Kiawah course by Pete Dye was back in the, this was a while ago, but it was a Ryder Cup year. And I can remember Mark Calcavecchia. And you probably would pronounce it Calcavecchia. But his name is Mark Calcavecchia. He hits a flare out shot to the right on a par three, loses his match. And he was that last seen walking into the sunset along the beach with his wife, head down, probably crying. Because he had a chance to contribute. Tough holes, tough course over there at Kiawah Island. I'd be interested to see what it looks like this year. It is a desert type course, you know, it's right on the coast. But anyway, we were talking about that. And now we're going to talk about one more club pro, the guy that won the tournament. His name's Omar Uresti. He's from Texas, went to University of Texas in Austin, played the tour, 377 starts, you said, going into the break. That's a lot of events. You know, that's a lot of events to play. And he made a bunch of cuts, $3.87 million. This guy was a journeyman pro. I mean, he was a bona fide pro. He was not a club pro. So he can't make enough money, can't get his I don't know if it was because of injuries or if it was just because he lost his game or he wasn't good enough or the game passed him up. 5'6" Omar Uresti decided he needed a job. So he became a club pro. And there's a mechanism when you're on the PGA Tour to become a club pro, get your PGA membership while you're playing on the PGA Tour. So, I mean, if PGA members are all up in arms and chapped because Omar Uresti can play in the tournament, a guy that was a journeyman pro can now compete with the guys that are selling green fees and folding shirts all day. You need to look at your rules because it's a legit membership. Now, a lot of these guys of the team of 20 that get in this tournament, a lot of them are from the Northeast. They have the type of jobs where they are paid by the club to play with the members. That's what their job is, Tim. Can you imagine that? Being paid to go out and play golf with members. That's what you do.
That's pretty cool.
In Texas, there are no jobs like that. I mean, in Texas, you're paid to run an operation. And so a lot of the Texas guys get really chapped off, get irritated by the fact that Omar Uresti can play in this event, even though he's no longer on the PGA Tour. But they said, hey, he did. And historically, I mean, these are his accomplishments. Why is he playing with us? He's too good. He's too good for us. Don't let him play with us because he's going to take one of our top 20 spots. And that's big. There's a big controversy and there's contention about this whole deal, Tim.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading about right now. Do you think it's fair? Or do you think it's unfair?
Well, it's fair because he's within the rules.
But what's your opinion on it? Come on.
Well, what's my opinion?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he should be in it anyway. I don't think any of those 20 should be in it.
Well, okay. Let's say they're in it. Okay. Let's get out of this top 20 shouldn't be in it deal.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. Let him play. I mean, I don't have any problem with him playing. I don't have any problem with him winning this tournament.
Okay. Well, this is what
do you have? You have a problem with this guy? This guy's not on the PGA Tour.
I have no problem with this guy playing in this event. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have no problem.
I'm going to divert. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here.
Okay. Give us a weather report.
Okay. No weather report. No, I'm not going to read the top 10 of the Valspar Okay. Leaderboard. On occasion, a guy like Omar Uresti, who's made $3.8 million on the PGA Tour, that's played in 377 events, when he doesn't no longer is going to compete professionally, he can write a letter and apply through the United States Golf Association to get his amateur status back. So that's one of the things that I would have a problem with. A guy that plays as a professional, this made money, this violated the rules of amateur golf, can be reinstated back as an amateur. There's thousands and thousands of pros that have done this, that have been reinstated as an amateur and can compete with the guys in the U.S. Mid-Am, the U.S. Open, the U.S. Not the U.S. Junior, obviously, but the U.S. Amateur. That doesn't seem fair. I mean, that I got a problem with that. But guys that have been pros at one level and are now pros at a different level, man, let them go. Let them play.
Yeah, let them play.
Okay, so what's your opinion?
Okay, this is my opinion. It has nothing to do with Omar Uresti. I don't care about Omar Uresti. I don't care about his golf game, Omar Uresti. I have heard the name Omar Uresti. That's why I was able to pronunciate it pretty correctly for the most part. My opinion is this. If the top 20 PGA Tour players shouldn't be invited to this PGA Championship, then Ricky Fowler should not be invited to this PGA Championship. Ricky Fowler has fallen so hard down the world golf rankings. He needs to absolutely be embarrassed by where he is at in the game of golf right now.
Believe me, he's embarrassed.
You scroll down to the world golf rankings page, and this is where the embarrassment starts, okay? You scroll down to the world golf rankings, you look for his name. Oh, you don't see his first name on the page. You need to hit the arrow. You need to hit the arrow on the world golf rankings page. Scroll down even more, and there's Ricky Fowler's name at 111th in the world golf rankings, two spots ahead of Phil Mickelson at 113th, and Phil Mickelson hasn't had a golf game in a long time. So you talk about special exemptions, Steve. Obviously, Ricky Fowler is a better player than a PGA professional is. However, does he deserve a spot in the PGA Championship? And the answer is no. The Masters did not extend a special invite to Ricky Fowler for the Masters. It's a popularity thing.
I
understand why the PGA Championship is doing it, but this is my caveat. If the top 20 PGA professionals shouldn't be invited based on your reasoning, Steve, then Ricky Fowler should not be invited as well.
Good rationale, Tim. Good rationale. But it gets us back to the bigger picture. Let me give you the bigger picture here, and I didn't want to do it, but I'm going to have to do it to prove a point. Scott Brown, Hank Lebioda, Ted Potter Jr.
Yeah.
Those are players in the top 10 right now as it stands through two rounds at the Valspar. These guys, I mean, our listeners, our downloaders, our uploaders, our sideloaders, they wouldn't recognize those guys. You've got to have some name recognition. Now, Ricky Fowler has name recognition. And plus, that would really put him behind because, you know, he wants to be number one in that new category on PGA Tour, that $40 million bonus for social media posts and all that stuff. You read the criteria last week that name recognition, Google searches, Bing searches, whatever it is. PGA Tour is giving out $40 million, and Ricky Fowler wants some of that.
Does Bing still exist?
I think it does, yeah. Okay. I think it does.
Well, Steve, you're talking about name recognition. The PGA Championship isn't struggling for name recognition. All the top players in the world are going to be there.
That's true.
So,
but if you ask the young people, especially that's our target market, the young people, everyone knows Ricky Fowler. Everyone's wearing a Puma hat.
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing orange. So, I mean, you go to a tournament, you got dozens of kids wanting to be Ricky Fowler. You don't have dozens of kids wanting to be Rob LaBritz.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So. All right. Well, let's wrap up. Let's go to our third segment. But first, go to HaneyUniversity.com. Sign up for the daily newsletter that comes out full of instruction. I'm trying to break 80 this year. I got the bachelor party coming up, and the goal is going to be to break 80 at the bachelor party. That's hopefully the goal. And I've been watching these Hank Haney videos that are coming out in this daily newsletter to help me improve my game. I'm close. I can feel it. I'm believing in myself, just like PGA Tour players tell you you're supposed to do. So go to HaneyUniversity.com for that. And you can also get great training aids there as well. A putting mat, a target that you hit into, all that stuff and more available at HaneyUniversity.com.
Let me interject here. Haney University is coming up with a new platform here very soon. And we've got about 25 Hank Haney teachers that are going to contribute to that website. And tips, chats, original content. You are going to be inundated with golf tips. I mean, you could change your goal, Tim. Maybe instead of breaking 80, it's breaking 70.
Wow. When does this come out? When does this innovative
very, very soon. Maybe as soon as this Monday.
Wow.
Maybe as soon as this Monday. So you can send videos in and we will analyze those videos for you. It's a new platform. Hank has been developing and we're looking forward to it.
A live chat.
I mean, everything. I mean, you got it. You name it.
So you're going to answer my questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Well, one of the, and I can give you opinions too. Get a haircut, Tim.
Thanks.
Shave, Tim.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Appreciate it. Okay. HaneyUniversity.com.
Take a stool softener. Last segment here. Whew, man. I think we peaked too early. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Last segment. What are we going to talk about?
I got it. Go on. You can hit me up.
Okay. Welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Now, you know what I really miss, Tim? I love doing the podcast, but what I really miss is having people call in and ask. Right now, we don't know what the questions are going to be, but asking us questions about life, about the PGA Championship, about the Valspar.
I think you and I would get some interesting calls too.
Yeah. I mean, we got some hate calls, no doubt about it. But I miss that.
I think people would submit their big dicks of the week, big dick McGee of the week.
You've got that obsession, man. I talked about a horse riding the horse, and you went right to that.
That's not what I said. Yeah, I mean, you filled in the blanks. I just,
it was very, obvious. It was very obvious.
Okay. Anyway, this is what we need to talk about. It was the NFL draft last night, and we need to select 5 players for the next 10 years on the PGA Tour. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I'm not ready to select, but I'm ready to tell you what my criteria is. The PGA Tour is changing. It will be changing over the next 5 years. I think over the next 5 years, this is one of my great predictions here. The European Tour will be absorbed into the PGA Tour. There'll be a European, like a division or a conference, European conference, maybe a world conference, and then the U.S. conference. And at the end, we'll have a Super Bowl. And with that Super Bowl, we'll probably have about 20 club pros in there, too.
Yeah.
But no, so when you're asking me who are my 5, I can't commit yet because there's so many guys like you brought up. I mean, obviously, I'm going to go with the top U.S. players, the guys that play on the PGA Tour. I'm going to come up with them. But there are a lot of players that we've never heard of. You named one of them earlier in the podcast who was like number 68 on the world rankings. I didn't know who the heck he was, but he's a dang good player. So who's your top 5? Who's going to be your 5?
Okay, I'll go with my top 5 if you're not going to go with the top 5. Number five. So this is, you know, I got to look into the future a little bit here.
Right.
Number five, I will go with Victor Hovland.
Okay.
Okay. Number five, Victor Hovland. Number four, I will go with Will Zalatoris.
Ooh, that's one of my, he's on my team right now.
Yeah, and he's been playing great. Credit to you for that selection.
Yeah.
Number three. Number three, I will go with, this is a tough one. I know the one and two. I don't know who to go with for three. Number three. That's a tough pick. I'm not sure what to do with that one. I'll skip that one for now. Number two, I will go with Colin Morikawa.
You're going young, man. You're going number super one, young.
Justin Thomas.
Okay. All right, I like that.
Yeah. So I need to fill that number three spot, and I guess to fill that number three spot, I'll just go with Dustin Johnson.
Okay. All right. He'd be getting older. I wonder how old he is right now.
He's like 37, 38.
Okay. Well, so he's going to be a little bit past his prime here.
Yeah, he will be. You know? But he'll still get some wins in the next few years.
Well, I mean, you think Bryson DeChambeau in 5 years will still be playing golf?
Probably.
Or will he have blown his back out?
He'll probably still be playing. I'm just not a big fan. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, obviously, guys like Webb Simpson, he'll be gone. He'll be like Zach Johnson is now. You don't even know he's there. Billy Ho will be gone. Rory McIlroy will be probably Prime Minister of Scotland at that time.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland, I mean, or whatever.
Are you going to pick five or no?
Yeah, I'm going to pick five here. You know, Justin Thomas. John Rahm.
I forgot about Rahm.
You know what? Tony Finau's a money machine. I don't feel comfortable. I'm a great guy, nice guy.
Okay. So you got Justin Thomas, John Rahm.
John Rahm. I'm working my way down. It's a tough list here.
It is tough.
Will Zalatoris. I've got to put him. Jordan Spieth. So I have one more. Tiger Woods.
Oh, jeez.
That's it.
He's going to be 57 years old.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Anymore. Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's on my team.
He'll be the captain.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't pick Max Homa.
That's
you love him. You love him.
I love Max Homa. He's great.
But, I mean, I think we're at the end of an era right here. You look at the World Golf Rankings.
Cal.
Yeah, that's true. But we're at the end of an era here. Now, no one picks Xander Schauffele. He's a dang good player, too. He's ranked fourth this week in the World Golf Rankings. Young guy. We're seeing the end of an era here. Brooks Koepka, too. We didn't mention him. Rory McIlroy will be out. Tommy Fleetwood will be. He'll be playing in Europe again. Louis Oosthuizen, he's gone. He'll be gone. The end of a nice era. Adam Scott will no longer be relevant. Justin Rose won't be relevant. Obviously, Kevin Kisner was never relevant, but he won't be relevant. Stuart Sink, he'll probably still be winning the HBC, RBC, GBC. Sergio, he'll be gone.
STD.
Yeah, that's right. He'll win the STD award. Brian Harman, he's rendered too short to play on the PGA Tour. New policies in 5 years. Matt Kuchar, he'll be jumping off his wallet.
Sounds
in the next 5 years. Yeah. So I mean, you've got a lot of guys that will no longer. Gary Woodland will no longer be. Bubba Watson will be close to retirement again. Jason Day? Jason Day will be, he'll be nursing a bad injury somewhere. It's sad because these are guys that over the last 10, 15 years have been, they've been the PGA Tour. That's who we wanted to watch. Phil will be getting close to retirement in 5 years. He'll be hitting bombs. But,
yeah.
I mean, just, I think the PGA Tour is in a world of hurt.
No,
I think they are in terms of fan. Obviously, they have business affiliations that are very strong, But the fan affiliations, especially with the millennials coming up, their attention span is so short. They've got challenges coming up.
They just are giving away a $40 million prize. I don't think they're hurting for money.
Alex Noren, he'll be out of there.
No one knew who he was anyway.
Yeah. But Ricky Fowler's 111th this week on the world golf ranking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Henrik Stenson will be long gone.
Okay.
Francesco Molinari was long gone. Rafa Cabrera Bay. I mean, it's sad. It's sad to see. How about Graham McDowell? Graham McDowell is I loved watching him play. Really gritty, gritty player.
Just a
tough player. You know, he made Hunter Mahan cry with his play. That's how tough a player he is. Yeah, he made him cry.
Oh, wow.
So,
all right, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Saturday Strong. I think we're on episode 65, 66, somewhere in there. Episode 69 is just a month away as the wedding winds down and we're 36, 37 days away. Excited.
Ooh, man. Are you getting nervous for that?
No, I'm feeling so good about it.
Okay.
I was more nervous last month than I was this month.
Really?
Yeah.
We got to talk about the gifts that you've been getting. By next week, you'll have my gift. Hank's gift is, I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see about Hank's gift.
TBD.
Yeah,
right. You're talking about Lush Rough at the TPC Harding Park. And I got a little Lush Rough of my own. So I'm trying to figure out what I need to do in 36 days or so. So maybe that'll be a topic for the marriage premarital counseling that you have, Steve, that I'm excited to hear.
Okay. I'm just going to leave you with a little hint. I'm going to leave you a little hint.
Okay.
We want a fringe and at the most fairway. fringe length or fairway length?
Okay.
Not rough length.
But can't the balls get caught up in the can't they get caught?
Oh, you got a good lie. When you go with the fringe length or the fairway length, your ball is sitting right up there.
I know, but a lot of times you got to mark it. You got to put the line on the ball. You got to line up the putt. You know.
Now that would be a good idea. I would definitely get the stencil and put the line on the ball because most of the guys in the PGA Tour put a line on their balls.
Yeah.
They are. 90-something% of the guys use a line on their balls.
I know. I mean, I got to do the same thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Everyone, thanks for listening. Take care. Stay safe. Follow us on Twitter at GreatPredictor1 for Steve Johnson, at Tim Peroshka for me. Email the show, HankCaneyGolf@outlook.com. Send your golf swings in to golfschools@HankCaney.com. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Hit bombs. Make putts. Leave the flight stick in because it's a statistical advantage. And have a great day.
The Hank Caney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.